And with the verse from Ephesians 5, verse 18, it says, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." You know, it's easy to get lazy about spiritual things. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, it's easy to get so preoccupied with the day-to-day business of life that the truths that you've received from God can slip away. You don't have to fall into some kind of major sin to lose ground spiritually. You don't even really have to get rebellious. All you have to do is nothing. It's easy, and it's also dangerous. It's dangerous. The truth is, it's usually not the great revelations that we haven't heard yet that is the cause of our being defeated in certain areas of our life. Really, it's usually because we are not paying attention to the things that we already know. You know, it's not that one bit of truth that someday if we could just grasp a hold of that would take care of our issues. No, what really needs to happen is if we would just pay attention to what we've already learned and allow God to continue to teach us, we would be able to live lives of victory. But we all have those times in our lives when we're just not in a peak spiritual condition. Maybe you're there now, maybe you're not. Usually, if we're not in our peak spiritual condition, it's because we've been distracted or we've been slacking off. But you can get back on track. And that's really what I'm going to be encouraging you to do over the next 3 weeks. I'm starting a series called Winning in 24. And I want us to be looking ahead to the year that we've got coming. And I want us to be in the best position to be winners. And I mean that in the best spiritual sense, not in a worldly sense. I want us to be winners that by the end of 2024, we can say we gained ground, we gained space and you know, more territory for the kingdom of God. And we, for us, ourselves and our family and even our brothers and sisters in the body, that we came out on top. That we were victorious, that we overcame the problems that came our way. Now, in order to do that, you kind of have to be on the right path to begin with. And sometimes, as I mentioned on Sunday, it's good to take stock of where we are at the beginning of a new year. We're at the beginning. So it's good to take stock of where are we, how are we doing, and possibly, if needed, we realign ourselves a little bit. You know, so every now and then you need a little realignment. You kind of need to get yourself back on track, need to get yourself aligned with the Word of God and with the purposes of God. How many of you have a car that you drive? Yeah, almost everybody. If your car was out of alignment, it just doesn't work the way it's supposed to. You know, sometimes it'll pull to one side or the other. Your tires will wear out weird. You know, they don't wear out evenly. There's all kinds of issues that can come up. Other parts that will wear out sooner if your car's not in alignment. You as well, spiritually, need to be aligned with God's word. So my first message is about realigning ourselves. And so I've got some keys to realignment, if you will, that we're going to flow through tonight. But first, let's pray and ask God's blessing on this time. Father, I am thankful for the great things that you have done for us as a church and as individuals. Lord, all of us can sing your praises. All of us have those things that we can look to and point back in history to our personal history and say, God did that. God helped us. But Lord, now as we're looking ahead to 2024, we want to also be able to say, God is working in our lives and helping us to accomplish the things that he has set before us. Lord, as you continue to lead and guide us, I pray that you help us to recognize the importance of some of the things we'll talk about tonight. Lord, help us to see the power and the blessing that come when we align ourselves with you and with your word to accomplish your purposes. Lord, we know we can't do it on our own, that it takes you being a part of this process. And Lord, I pray for your help. I pray for your encouragement. I pray that your Spirit would guide us and inspire us to a better life in 2024, a victorious life, a spiritual life that brings about victory for ourselves and others. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. Well, I'm going to begin with an undeniable truth. This is an undeniable truth. You might want to write this down under the heading of undeniable truth. If you want to live in victory, you have to keep yourself spiritually active. If you want to live in victory, I'm talking again about spiritual victory. I'm talking about the kind of victory that God desires for your life. You have got to stay spiritually active. You have to keep feeding your spirit with the Word of God. You have to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And I say continually, and I mean continually. It's not enough just to get baptized in the Holy Spirit and then expect that that one experience is going to keep you on fire for the rest of your life for serving the Lord. And when we looked at our scripture to start out with, Ephesians 5:18, where the Apostle Paul writes, "Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." That phrase, "be filled," that phrase in the Greek literally says, "be being filled." Be being filled. So it's not just once you get it, now you're filled. No, it says be being, or continually keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. Not only should you be filled, but you should keep yourself overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And I know that sounds like a pretty tall order, and it can be. It can be. But in the book of 2 Timothy, Paul tells us how we can accomplish it. I'm going to look through several scriptures through 2 Timothy tonight on some of the instructions that he gives us. He gives a really quite a good outline and some important steps that we can follow to keep us moving forward, to align ourselves with God and realign ourselves if we're out of alignment a little bit, and keep moving forward in the Spirit. So let's start in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1, it says, "Therefore, be strong in the grace that is Christ Jesus." Be strong in grace. Be strong in grace. What is grace and what does it do? In this particular context, Titus 2 tells us, "For the grace of God," in fact, let's look at that scripture, Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. It says, "For the grace of God," we're talking about being strong in grace, "the grace of God brings salvation, that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." Notice in verse 12, it starts out saying, teaching us. Grace of God teaches us. It teaches us how we can live in freedom while we're still living in this world. Whenever the Spirit of God corrects you, whenever he points out a mistake that you're making, whenever he speaks to you about something that you're doing that is grieving him, don't be upset by that. Be glad. This is the grace of God teaching you. It's the grace of God that teaches us these things. It's in those prayer times each day where we can expect the Spirit of God to counsel and instruct us about the things in our life. There's some of the big things in our lives and some of the small things in our life. We need to be strong in the grace of God. His words are quiet words. They're not overwhelming words, right? If we don't have a spiritual ear tuned in to the Spirit, well, we will miss it. We will miss it. We would be wise to spend time every day praying in the Spirit, talking to the Father, and reminding ourselves that the Holy Spirit is inside us, continually teaching and guiding us. That's how we are strong in grace. Number one, we need to be strong in grace. Number two, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. another instruction from Paul. He says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We need to endure hardship. In other words, we need to get tough. We need to get tough. Tests and trials will come our way in this life, and we don't want to falter, and we don't want to quit when they do. We need to get tough. We don't want to put down our shield of faith just because the going gets a little harder. Instead, here's the key. When the enemy puts pressure on us, and he will, we need to get more aggressive with our faith. Not get less. We need to get more aggressive with our faith. That means we actually do more, not less. You know, sometimes I've seen people, and I've come across situations like this all of the time. They go through some tragedy, something terrible has happened in their lives, and they just kind of stop. They're just knocked off their foundation for a while, and it takes them a while before they begin to come back and get back involved with their spiritual life. I see it particularly with people who lose a loved one through death. Sometimes it takes them a while to recover from that. And the key here is, again, we need to be tough. I don't mean unfeeling, but we need to be strong enough so that when we do recognize those attacks that come our way, when things do get tough, we get tougher. That we don't slack off. We actually get more aggressive with our faith. We get more aggressive with our spiritual walk. So we spend more time in prayer. We spend more time in the Word. Speak twice as much of victory than we do of defeat. Now, I think about how a lot of people probably are hearing these messages, and I wonder if you kind of get tired of hearing me say over and over again, we need to pray more, and we need to get into the Word more. Have you heard me say that lately? I think I'm saying it almost every message that I've been preaching lately, because I was going through this and writing it down and thinking, you said that an awful lot. But you know, here's the key. That is a key. We do need to pray more. We do need to get into our Word more. And if I had a better word than that, I'd probably be sharing that with you over and over again. But I don't know how to get beyond any of this basic spiritual life stuff without prayer and without the Word. It's important. So if I just keep harping on it, just again, understand it is because it's important. It is because it is very important. When hardship comes, we need to endure it. And I don't mean that we just learn how to cope with it and how to just kind of suffer our way through it. That's not really enduring it. When hardship comes, we endure it by standing on our faith. We endure it by refusing to let the devil talk us out of the effectiveness of the spiritual disciplines that we have developed. See, that's, again, when tough times come, people let the disciplines fall to the wayside. They're so preoccupied with the trouble, with the difficulty that they're enduring or not enduring, that they don't continue on with the basic disciplines of spiritual life. It is important. Discipline in your spiritual life is vital. Number three, for that we go to 2 Timothy 2, verse 4. He says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So, our third point, don't get entangled. Don't get entangled. You and I, we have been called to live by faith. Amen? Live by faith in Jesus, not to be tied down to this natural realm. But all too often, we allow ourselves to become entangled in the temporary affairs of this world. And all of us have been there. All of us have done it. Some of us might be in the midst of it right now. It is one of the great struggles of life on this planet. And those entanglements usually drag us into defeat. It's kind of like swimming in murky waters, you know? You're just kind of paddling around and in the water, and all of a sudden something from below, an octopus's tentacles, grab your legs and start just pulling you under. That's what these entanglements are like in your spiritual life. They will pull you down, and we don't have to let it happen to us. We can shed those entanglements, those tentacles, by simplifying our life. That's not so easy to do sometimes. But simplifying your life will make a difference. If you don't have time for God, you need to make time. Don't let your career, don't let your family, don't let anything else keep you from going on with God. We get entangled in so many things. One thing I can promise you, every part of your life will be more blessed if you will take time to seek and listen to God. Every part of your life will be more blessed if you will take that time. See, there is nothing that we can do that will produce a greater benefit to our sanity, to our family, to our income, to our social life, than seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. And yet we get entangled in so many other things. Before I consider taking on any new activity, I always ask myself, can I afford it? And I don't mean financially. I don't mean, do I have enough money to do that thing? No, what I mean is, can I afford it spiritually? Because everything will take time away from God if I'm not pursuing Him. Can I give time to this new activity and still keep my priority time with God? If not, then I can't afford it. And see this, when we're talking about realigning ourselves in 2024 for victory, for winning this life, this spiritual walk, maybe you need to do some realignment in removing some of the entanglements that are dragging you down. Those things that are taking you away from your spiritual walk and the disciplines of prayer and the Word and just spending time with God and with other believers. If it's going to keep me from priority time with God, I can't afford it. And now I will at times, I will kind of stretch those limits. Sarah will tell you. There are times I'll stretch those limits, particularly when it comes to the needs of ministry, but it can't go on like that for long. There always has to be a time to cut back and remove the entanglements that might be a problem with that first and foremost relationship with the Lord. I can assure you, you can do without a lot of things that you think are making your life better. You can do without a lot of those, but there is one thing that you absolutely can't afford to do without, and that's your time spent with prayer and in the Word of God. It is your very life. It is where victory comes from. Now, we may forget that, but the enemy never does. Satan doesn't forget. In fact, he is continually placing time stealers in our path. So be alert and don't get entangled by them. Be aware. Be sharper than he is. You know, there will always be those things that we could be doing instead of, right? Make sure that you make the time to spend priority time with God. And typically, the best time is the first part of your day. But I'll leave that up to you. If you can make that time any time in the day that works for you, that's fine. Just make sure you have that time. And remember, again, we're talking about realigning our lives. Where are you out of alignment a little bit when it comes to the entanglements of this life? Number four, we're going to look at 2 Timothy 2:8. 2 Timothy 2:8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. My fourth point in realigning ourselves for 2024 is remember the resurrection. Remember the resurrection. The Amplified Bible puts this verse this way. It says, constantly keep in mind Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as risen from the dead. Continue to remember Jesus has risen. See, when the devil starts telling you that you're defeated, you can turn the tables on him and you can say, no, you got that wrong, devil. I'm not defeated. You're defeated. He's defeated. My faith in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ gives me victory. See, Satan can't whip us if we keep in mind that Jesus is risen from the dead. Never let yourself lose sight of Jesus, of his resurrection, of his power. Continually remind yourself that the power that Satan couldn't keep in the grave is the very power that resides in you. It is operating in you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've given your life to him, that power is in you. And I don't know if you can fully, I'm confident you cannot fully comprehend how much power that is. But if you remember it, if you keep that on the inside of you, remembering that he lives on the inside of you, the power that raised him from the dead is in you. If you'll do that, the devil will never be able to get the best of you. Moving along. Kind of be a quick message tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. This says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Here we are back again talking about the word. Number 5, study the word. Study the word. Never quit studying God's word. Whenever we stop growing in spiritual revelation, we begin to lose what we have already received. That's just the way it works. It just dwindles away. It's like you had it, and it's just, where did it go? It slipped away. I can tell if I slack a little bit on my own Bible reading, I can tell a difference in my life. Have you ever noticed some people seem to live on a spiritual roller coaster? One day they're on top of the world, they're excited about everything in their life, and then the next day they're in the valley of discouragement. One day they're riding high in faith, and the next day they're just terrible. They can hardly get out of bed. Why is that? I believe it's because they don't have a good foundation of the word in their lives. We don't want to be like that. We don't want to have to be like that. Instead, we can get up on that crest of that wave and just stay up there while all of the turbulence is happening below us. And I didn't say there wouldn't be waves. There will be waves. There will be lots of waves in this life. Sometimes big waves and big mean waves, ugly waves. But I tell you what, we can stay above all that churning that is going to go on below by staying at a higher level, riding that crest through the knowledge and faith of the word that we have developed. It is important. Continual study of the word of God will enable us to do it. It will strengthen you. It will keep you steady. It will keep us consistent in our walk with God. Why? Well, because it is constantly feeding your faith. It is constantly strengthening you in a spiritual sense. Those ups and downs, they are not beneficial to you or to anybody else around you. Trust me. What they're looking for is strength and stability. And what the word of God and what the faith in his word and your knowledge of it will do will give you strength and stability. All right, 2 Timothy 2:16 is our next verse we're going to look at. Paul, I said, is giving us some good instruction on how we can be aligning ourselves for victory in 2024. 2:16 says, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Not just these idle babblings, but also arguing over goofy, stupid stuff. It happens in the Christian world. Do you believe that? Number 6 is avoid arguments. Avoid. In this chapter, Paul actually specifically cites the case, just a couple of verses down, he cites the case of two men who were arguing over the resurrection. Those kind of useless arguments actually undermine faith, and Paul warns us to stay away from them. But there are some who just have to argue the point. I remember there was a early in our time up here in Wisconsin, Sarah and I and our boys went to a church, country church. We were kind of checking out the area and trying to find out what kind of churches were here before we actually started a church. In case there was a great church, like say a visible church that was there, we would have lent our talent and ability to the work that was going on. So we were checking out local churches. And in this particular church, I asked them about if their faith was there for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, that just created a whole kind of uproar. And it was interesting. Sarah's still scandalized by this whole thing that went on. But there were like three or four elders. They didn't actually have a pastor there at the moment. But there were like three or four elders that gathered around me, and they wanted to argue the point. It's like, I just was asking if you believed in that or not. Well, then they had to just kind of argue about it. And finally, you know, it's like service is starting. And I said, well, just go in and have a seat. And those guys were, and Sarah was in the auditorium, you know, in their sanctuary area, and the doors were closed, but she could still hear them arguing about, you know, it's like, I'm just wanting to stop. It's like, it doesn't matter. You know, I don't need to fight this out here, guys. And it was just, people want to argue. They just sometimes want to argue. Don't get into conflicts with other believers over doctrine. Now, there's a difference if you are in a time of study with other believers and you're discussing doctrine, because there is a right and wrong, and you know, sometimes it's in the right place. It is good to discuss those things, but not argue those things. Instead, fellowship with people over the fact that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead and that he is Lord of this world and of the universe. That's what you can celebrate, and that's what you can enjoy and fellowship with other believers in. If you can't agree on anything else, just rejoice over the resurrection of Jesus. I mean, any true believer can be happy to just rejoice over his resurrection. It hardly ever pays to argue with people. And that's not just spiritually, but in almost any instance, just love them. Just love them. And, you know, I'm one of the things that I sometimes struggle with, but I overcome, is when I come across something stupid on Facebook and I want to set them straight. I want to sit down and start typing up, no, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. This is what the Bible has to say. But I don't. Because you know what? I learned a long time ago, they're not listening to me anyway. There are very few minds that are ever changed on Facebook or in many other places of argumentative debate. So avoid that and fellowship with people and avoid the arguments, which brings us to number 7 in 2 Timothy 2:22. It says, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And so number 7 in my list here is fellowship with the faithful. Hang out with believers. If you want to live in victory, we need to fellowship with people who know God. Don't try to fellowship with the world and live like an overcomer, because it won't work. It won't work. We get strength from one another. That's why we're encouraged not to, you know, neglect assembling together. It is good for us to get together. Let me also warn you, not only can you get strengthened by good fellowship with strong believers, you can also get weakened by hanging out with weaker ones. Just the way it is. If you want to grow strong, I mean spiritually strong, find someone who is stronger in the Lord than you are and fellowship with them. Hang out with those kind of people. They'll lift you up. They'll bring you up a level or two. And let me say this. This is kind of free advice, maybe meddling a little bit. for those who are in the time span of their life when they might be dating and hanging out with members of the opposite sex, be careful who you hang out with. Don't be dating unbelievers. Don't give your time to those folks. Come on. What is the end game there? You know, evangelism dating does not work. Again, you end up being dragged down more than you ever lift somebody up who is not a true believer. And in fact, if you are in that dating realm, you're looking for somebody who is going to help you be stronger in the Lord, not somebody that you have to drag along with you and try and get them to be strong in the Lord. And in fact, particularly for gals, any gals who are thinking about dating somebody not a believer, that's just a bad move to begin with. But think about what you want is spiritual leadership in your life from a mate. You want a man who is going to be the spiritual leader of your household, who is going to be the spiritual strength of your family, who is going to help teach your young people, your children, how to walk with the Lord. And if you are having a difficult time getting them to be spiritual, what are you thinking? Anyway, I could go on that in a long time. Anyway, if you're going to date, go into partnership. If you're going to hang out with people, do it with other believers, particularly those who are spiritually stronger than you. If you can. On the other hand, if you fellowship with people who don't live for God and trust in His word, they will bring you down. And even people who are believers in God to a certain extent. For example, don't go to a church where the people tell you that healing has passed away and then expect to try and live in divine health. That just doesn't work. It doesn't work. Now, listen to me. Your very life depends on who you fellowship with and where you go to church. That's a strong statement, but I'll stand by it. Your very life, the quality of your life, even the length of your life depends on who you hang out with, who you fellowship with, and where you go to church. So don't take that lightly. Who you hang out with is very important. Fellowship with people who walk in spiritual strength, who preach God's word and get results when they pray. Those are the kind of folks you want to hang out with. You hang out with people like that and you'll end up living on a higher level. Going back to Sunday's message, you want to live on a higher level. You want to live on that top deck. Of course, we do live in a fallen world, and you will have relationships with unbelievers. That's part of living in the world. But we're talking about a difference between having a relationship. You know, there are people that I have a good relationship with at work. I think I have a pretty good relationship with everybody at work. But there are very few of the people that are at work that I would hang out with. I mean, in my best time, you know, if you just invite them over to eat popcorn and watch a good movie, there are very few of those people in my relationships at work. I have good relationships, and everybody knows I'm a Christian, and we talk about that when the opportunity arrives, but I'm not hanging out with them. And they're always confused when, you know, it seems like somebody is always having some time. Well, we're going to go to Aunt Doozy's tonight and we're going to hang out there and we're going to do this. You're invited. Come along. And they're always kind of surprised that I never really do. Because what am I going to do there? Not my deal. But anyway, are they watching, you think? Nah. They're not going to see this. Hang out with believers. Hang out with good people. Fellowship with the people who are fellowshipping with God as well. Amen? Number 8, this I think is my last point. Keep on keeping on. In 2 Timothy 3:14, this is what Paul writes. He says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." Keep on. Don't give up. The only way the devil can actually defeat us is by convincing us to quit. I mean, seriously, he has no great power over you. He has no ability to really destroy your life unless you allow him to, through his deception. If he can convince you to quit, then he will win. When Satan comes to knock us down and to steal our hope and our faith and just tear down the word of God in our lives, we're not going to let it go. No, we're going to hang on. We're going to keep on keeping on. Keep on. We're going to continue to do the things that we know to do. Amen? We're going to keep on keeping on. Like these points that I brought up, just to kind of summarize it. Number one, we're going to be strong in grace. We're going to be listening for what the voice of the Lord tells us, and we're going to act accordingly. When he speaks to us, we're not going to be offended by it. We're not going to get upset by it. We're going to say, yes, Lord, I believe that you know what you're talking about, and I'm going to do my best to follow through. We're going to be strong in grace. It's his grace that teaches us how to live in this world. We're going to endure hardship. That means we're going to get tough. We're not going to be swayed to and fro by every little wind that comes along. We're going to stand firm, even in the tough times. And we're not going to get entangled in all of these cares of the world that will keep us from following after Jesus, that will keep us from really fulfilling our purpose by the distractions that so easily entangle us. We are not going to let that happen. We're going to remember that Jesus Christ and his power dwells in us. That is remembering the resurrection. We're going to make sure that our nose is in that Bible on a consistent basis, not just to read it, but to study it. Take a little bit of time, get to know more about passages than just the first thought that comes to your mind when you read them. We're going to avoid foolish arguments, the senseless babblings that can go on that really have no significance in life other than to cause disturbance and division. We're not going to do that. We'll avoid the arguments, and we're going to hang out with the believers. We're going to fellowship with the faithful. Hallelujah. And keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. Remember this. All it takes to lose our grip on the power of God is to get lazy with the spiritual things. That's all it takes. Just get a little lazy. Get a little lazy. We don't have to do anything dramatic. You don't have to go crazy into sin and drugs and all that. All you have to do really is nothing. Just coast. Now is a good time for us to realign. If you've noticed a little correction that might need to be made in any of these areas of your life, this is a good time to realign for 2024. As the return of Jesus draws closer, to the times are going to get more perilous. You know that. This is not the time to start taking it easy. Now is not the time to be a spiritual couch potato. If you've been a spiritual couch potato, well, get over it and get on with it. Get on with Jesus. It's time to move onward and upward in the overcoming power of God. We are overcomers when we do these things. Amen. We will win in 2024. It's not looking surprisingly good for those who are outside of the body of believers. You know, there's all kinds of interesting things on the horizon, but we will rise above it. We have God with us. Amen? Amen. Lord, thank you for all that you are showing us and all that you're helping to do in our lives that will prepare us for the days that are ahead. But Lord, we don't look at them as days of peril for us. They are days of opportunity. They are days of overcoming. They are days of seeing your glory and your power exhibited in the world for those who will stand in faith, for those who will guard your word in their hearts, for those who will not back down when the enemy confronts them or when difficulties arise. Lord, we look forward to the times that are ahead because we know we can trust in you. We know that you are on our side. We know that the faith that we have is more than enough to overcome every obstacle the enemy will put before us. And Lord, I thank you for all of that. It's not because of us. It's because of your Son, Jesus, and his sacrifice on our behalf that opens the door to true victory in 2024. We ask you, Lord God, to seal this message in a way that will impact us for the rest of our weeks and days of this year, and help us to get through every encounter with an enemy that will try to destroy us. We give you the praise, Lord Jesus, for the victory that we already sense is yours. In Jesus' name.
Oh, bless his name.